While it's true that Christmas time is known for festive parties and good cheer, for some, the holidays are anything but merry. In fact, some feel lonely. Others are stressed out. Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents the biblical antidote. Recorded in Matthew chapter 1, the miraculous conception resulted in the birth of Jesus, our Savior, who offered perfect peace and contentment that continues to this day. And it all happened through a stunned young couple who were engaged to be married. Chuck titled today's message, "The Surprise That Still Brings Relief." We begin with prayer.
For the next few moments, I would like for you to fix your minds on someone you know who would be struggling through this Christmas season. Many of us rejoice and sing and are glad and delighted with the season. There are some who are not. I want you to fix your mind on one person or maybe a couple whom you know, who this Christmas would find themselves sad for whatever reason. And as I pray, I want you to pray for that person. Just remember them. Call them to the Lord by name. You know their situation probably better than anyone else here. This would be a great time for you to pray for them at this time of the year. And let's bow together. We are grateful, our Father, that Christ has come. He has come into this world of ours. He has walked into our lives. And thanks be to your great love, He has begun the process of changing the direction of our lives. We call this transformation. He is in the process of transforming us so that we would become more like Christ. We realize as we go over these familiar sections of Scripture that the story in its breadth may be clear and familiar to us, but many of the details we have missed because of the familiarity of the story. Today would be an example. Help us to enter into Mary's experience as the angel appeared, announcing God's surprising plan. And then with Joseph, as he wrestled with what he heard, knowing nothing of the event, since Mary was alone when told of it. We pray for those who would find the season of the year difficult for whatever reason. Some are ill, and for some the illness lingers, and there doesn't seem to be much hope for recovery. We pray for them especially. And for those who care for them, that you would give extra strength, compassion, understanding, and grace. There are those who grieve, having been bereft of their loved one in days past. We pray that you would sustain them with great strength. Help them to find encouragement through your presence in their lives and the hope of resurrection on behalf of their loved one. And Lord, we commit to you those who serve you in lonely places during this season, unable to be home with family and friends. We pray that you would help them to go through this time victoriously and with extra strength to minister to others in ways that could not happen if they were not there. Remind them of the privilege of serving you. Now we pray, Lord, that our gifts today, as we give them, would be used for your greater glory, that you would be honored in the way these monies are spent. We commit to you the offering. We give gratefully and generously, as we ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Everyone said, Amen.
Listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called The Surprise That Still Brings Relief.
Gabriel has been given an assignment from the throne room. He is to come, he is to visit Mary in Nazareth, and he's to make her aware of the plan of God. Understand, she isn't ready for any of this. When you imagine all of that, you realize the surprise factor. And so he begins by saying, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Now, if you're working in your home or someone else's and you're busy about your stuff and you're a teenager and you're preoccupied with thoughts of your wedding coming up and you're thinking certainly about Joseph and about the things that are going to transpire in the days ahead, suddenly you hear a voice you've never heard before. You hear a greeting you never thought you would ever hear. And your first response, admittedly, is exactly what Mary's: confused and disturbed. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. What did he mean when he said, "Favored woman, and the Lord is with you"? What's he getting at? What's this all about? So she's clearly fearful. And the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary." The angel told her, "For you have found favor with God." Then the statement that is the most surprising of all statements: "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Clearly, it's the promise of Messiah. You will be the one whose womb will carry the embryo, the fetus, give birth to Messiah. And she's a virgin. Put yourself in her place. Her question is clearly the same question you would ask any one of you ladies hearing these words right now. Mary asked the angel, verse 34, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." It isn't that she's opposed to the idea, it's that she's confused as to how it could occur. So the angel replies without hesitation. He's been given this information when he left the throne room. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God, period. That's it. That's it. Message delivered. Understood, that I should say heard. She's turning it over in her mind. She's listened to these profound words and a thought that has never been given to any other woman on the planet, nor will it ever be given to one again. So in this unique moment, this young lady hears that which is incredible. Look at her response. You have to admire her. Verse 38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant." There's submission in those words, obviously. "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. Well, I would say that was quite a 3 or 4 minute dialogue. She'll never be the same. Now, we're going to do a little surmising here, a little guesswork. Preachers are allowed such moments, so you enter into this with me. What's the next thing on her mind? Of course, she's going to tell Joseph. Now, I wasn't able to fully enter into Mary's situation because I'm a man, but I'm going to tell you, when I turn to Matthew 1, I can sure understand Joseph. When she comes with this story, and by the way, we never have in any part of the scriptures, here or elsewhere, please turn to Matthew 1, we never have the encounter between the two of them recorded. So we don't know what words she used. We don't know exactly Joseph's immediate response to her. We can, again, surmise, but for sure it was awkward. It may have been and probably was very emotional. She is now carrying the child. If I understand Gabriel's words to be instantaneous action, the Spirit of God has visited her. She is now with child. And she says to Joseph those incredible words, "I am pregnant." He loves her dearly. She loves him as well. But there is an adoration for the Lord that overshadows the love these two have for each other. However, they are still human. And in this emotional dialogue, Joseph encounters this jolting statement, "I am pregnant." And on top of that, this remarkable explanation, it is all from the Holy Spirit. His mind is whirling. What a story to believe. Aside from all the things that could happen if he believed it, all the things that would be said in the neighborhood, all the things that would be said about them, about the child, from those who would never believe it. And Jesus spent his life around those who doubted the story. Aside from all of that, let's go back to Joseph. He's hearing her tell him that. And it is a story that not even logic will help him figure out because it is illogical. This is what is called a puzzle where there cannot be automatic assumptions. It's not an original thought with me. I got it from Malcolm Gladwell in his book, Blink. You've read Gladwell, many of you. You may have read the book, Blink. He describes what I'm getting at as it relates to Joseph's struggle here. Listen closely. Gladwell writes of this kind of puzzle. Consider the following puzzle. A man and his son are in a serious car accident. The father is killed and the son is rushed to the emergency room. Upon arrival, the attending physician looks at the child and gasps, "This is my son. Who is the doctor?" I'm looking at faces right now that are pretty blank. And I understand, so was mine when I first read those words. I couldn't put it together because of the problem of automatic assumptions. I continue with Gladwell's words. He writes, "This is an insight puzzle. It's not like a math or a logic problem that can be worked out systematically with pencil and paper. The only way you can get the answer is if it comes to you suddenly in the blink of an eye. If it comes to you suddenly in the blink of an eye. You need to make a leap beyond the automatic assumption that doctors are always men. They aren't always, of course. The answer is the doctor is the boy's mother." Why didn't we think of that? Because we automatically assume that doctors are male. Most do. Many do. That's the automatic assumption that keeps you from figuring out the puzzle. Joseph automatically assumes there's been a man involved. Of course he does. He has heard the one thing no fiancé ever wants to hear who has kept the relationship pure. "I am pregnant." He has one question. Who is the father? Why? Because of automatic assumption. In order for you to break with automatic assumption, you must see with eyes of faith. You must get beyond the realm of the logic, even the proven evidence. In every other case, for in every other case, there's been a male sperm involved. In her case, there's the Holy Spirit. Now you're into this deeply with me, and I'm so glad we're here together. Joseph is jolted. One man puts it really well. At first, Joseph couldn't believe what he was hearing. Maybe Mary was joking with him. He knew better than that. What she said was true. She's pregnant. Joseph's first question was the one any man would ask in the same situation. Who's the father? Joseph's conscience was clear. He had never violated the purity of the engagement period. Mary obviously had not been the person Joseph thought she was. One of the things that had attracted Joseph to Mary was her humble desire to live transparently before her God and before the community of believers around her. But now, in one brief conversation, Joseph found his perception of Mary shattered and his life in shambles. When Joseph asked her who the father was, Mary said that an angel of God had spoken to her. Yeah. See, there's the man in me and in every man listening. An angel had spoken to her. Her son would be the promised deliverer, the Messiah, God's son. She said it so calmly and confidently, but how could Joseph believe a story like that? He left the garden without saying another word and went back to his home to cry. He wrestled for hours with his response. Divorce seemed his only solution. In those days, an engagement was broken only by a divorce. It was binding. You could divorce publicly, which shamed and humiliated the unfaithful partner. And in olden days, before the Romans came and took over Israel, the adulteress was stoned. That's how severe it was. In these days, she's shamed, she's shunned, and she's an object of derision. He didn't want to do that. You can also have a private divorce. A few friends stand alongside with you, and you go through it with the presence of a rabbi at the synagogue. It's taken care of privately, and the decision is made, and the engagement is broken. That's what Joseph planned to do. When he went to bed that night, finally exhausted, slumped into sleep, that was his plan. He didn't like any of the above, but he couldn't reconcile where he was and where she was. By the way, she moves quickly down to see her older relative, Elizabeth, and spends time with Elizabeth until Elizabeth comes to term. So that's 3 months. So by the time Mary comes back, she's 3 months pregnant. So when he marries her, when he comes back, if in fact he does, she's soon to show. And in a neighborhood like Nazareth, just like the neighborhood where you live and where I live and where we were raised, tongues will wag. And there will be skeptics regarding this birth and this child till they crucify him at Calvary.
You're listening to the brand new Christmas series from Chuck Swindoll, and he titled today's message, "The Surprise That Still Brings Relief." Now please stay with us because we'll hear a closing comment from Chuck in just a moment. In case you missed any portion of this series, remember we've made it convenient for you to hear Chuck's teaching through a variety of avenues. Plus, when you go online, you'll also find a link to the study notes I mentioned earlier. To take advantage of these resources, go to insightworld.org/listen. Well, Chuck, at midnight on December 31st, we'll be closing the books on another year. And with the urgency of that annual deadline, we're asking every listener to join us in giving generously so others will hear about this surprise that still brings relief.
Dave, I have a personal theory about Christmas. It explains, at least to my satisfaction, the mystery of its magnetism. You see, for years, I've wondered what draws people into the Yuletide mode. Sure, some of us get turned off in early October when we see all those fake trees popping up at the mall. But somehow we can't resist the spirit of the season once we find ourselves enveloped in the sights and the smells and the sounds of Christmas. Now, why is that so? Well, my theory, I think, explains it best. Christmas scratches the itch of grace deep within all of us. It provides an opportunity to do something tangible for someone else, with no agenda for ever getting paid back. It gives us a chance to counteract that selfish streak we all hate in ourselves. In the simplest of terms, Christmas prompts us to demonstrate grace. Our Lord knew exactly what he was talking about when he taught that it is more blessed to give than to receive. As another year comes to a close, I'm inviting you to scratch the grace itch by joining Cynthia and me in giving financially to Insight for Living Ministries. In this hostile, me-first world, people are craving just one gentle whiff of God's goodness and grace. And when we respond today, Our simple act of generosity will be transformed into that irresistible sweet aroma of grace for someone we may never meet this side of eternity. Of this we can be sure. We will never regret responding to the need. Please jot down our contact information and follow the Lord's prompting. When you do that, you'll become an elegant bouquet, a sweet fragrance of God's grace, here at home and all around the world. Let's do this together, okay? Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chuck. And here's how to get in touch with your donation right now. We offer several different options for you. For instance, a growing number of our friends are texting their donations. We made that process simple. If you're listening in the United States, just text the word INSIGHT to this number, 555-888. Or if you prefer, it may be quicker to give online at insight.org/donate. Our email inbox is filled with comments from listeners who tell us about their personal grace awakening stories. And when you give to Insight for Living, you play a direct role in sponsoring these moments. God uses your donation to send a fragrance of grace to someone who desperately needs an encounter with God. So thanks for giving today, as the needs are especially urgent. In addition, you can speak with one of our friendly ministry representatives. If you're listening in the U.S., the phone number to call is 1-800-772-8888. Once again, 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org/donate. Join us again Friday when Chuck Swindoll concludes his message about the surprise that still brings relief, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Surprise That Still Brings Relief, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.